Hello everyone, I'm Alexandra, and today we're going to be analyzing a bizarre recruitment video titled Ghosts in the Machine, published on May 2nd of 2022 by a unit of the United States Army called the 4th Psychological Operations Group, who was in charge of psychological warfare. The video raised more questions than it answered. So, let's dissect their video and its many layers in the style of an iceberg to see just how relevant this recruitment video actually is. I always like to start by defining terms, and in this case, the first definition should be the title, Ghosts in the Machine. What does it mean? The Ghosts in the Machine is a term originally used to describe and critique René Descartes' mind-body dualism, or the notion of the mind existing alongside and separate to the body. In other words, the brain is not the mind. The brain is like the computer, and the mind is the internet. The brain, then, is the tool used to access the mind, but the mind is not contained in the physical brain. In more modern times, the term ghosts in the machine also describes the supposed consciousness in a device that behaves as if it has a will that is independent of what the human operator wants the device to do. So it is a ghost, or a non-material entity, attacking or antagonizing the machine. In this case, the machine isn't an actual machine, and a ghost isn't an actual ghost. On the surface layer of the Army's video, the machine is the system. The Army is fighting. The ghost is the Army. Let's watch Ghosts in the Machine together. Then, we'll take a deeper look into things. The video is meant to create an uneasy atmosphere, so please keep that in mind.
As the world watches and listens in horror, the peaceful pro-democracy demonstration in China comes to a violent and bloody end.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Wolves hiding nearby, whispering, do or die. Around me, you say,
there is another very important phase of warfare. It has as its target not the body, but the mind of the enemy.
The target of psychological warfare is against the enemy's mind.
It is words and ideas.
The ammunition used by Cywar.
Its mission is to influence the thoughts of the enemy soldiers. And at the same time,
is expected and encouraged to study foreign languages and the social sciences such as history, economics, and sociology. He must have a broad and sympathetic understanding of all phases of human experience.
Gripping at my skin, the walls of night close in.
But the use of this force as an integral part of combat has now taken on new form. These are the Cywar soldiers.
Alright, so let's get started with layer one, the context. We'll focus on the visual aspects of this video in this surface layer. The video opens with a Sun Tzu quote about war. The cinematic images dazzle you with movement, sharpness, and colors. A song called The Last Goodbye plays in the background. At first glance, it's the army portraying itself as using the whole world as their stage, while hiding in the shadows, manipulating events to their benefit, acting as a hidden hand. We see many of the CIA's and different divisions' past operations, like the Ghost Army tipping over inflatable tanks in World War II. However, it promotes a job that recruits don't actually get involved in. As these Green Berets of FNG's Academy's channel say,
"The part that bothers me personally is that this video is a f***ing lie."
But the video itself is a successful PSYOP operation. This is what they do.
That's a great point. They manipulated people into changing their psychological thoughts, right? Yeah. Their thoughts.
Kids are like, "I want to be a Green Beret." They see this and they're like, "No,
I want to be PSYOP.
I want to do that. I want to be a ghost."
Yeah, so this is a success.
Yeah.
Don't let this video determine your decision to join PSYOPs. You will be disappointed if you think this is a good representation. For contrast, this is a typical Department of Defense video depicting exactly what they do. So, as far as a recruitment video goes,
it was badly done indeed.
On this layer, the army wants you to know they are ghosts in the machine, watching and warping everything. The machine is essentially the world, and they're the ghosts within. The first watch through just gives you the gist of the video, the tip of the iceberg. But a recruitment video about recruits' activities is as on the nose as it gets. Let's use a writing technique to explain this. On-the-nose dialogue is where a character speaks with no subtext. They say exactly what they're thinking or feeling in no uncertain terms.
"It looks awfully enjoyable, but I don't have a towel or anything."
"Oh, you share mine."
"Okay, sure."
But this isn't Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. This is the Army's Psychological Operations Division. They don't do on-the-nose dialogue. If they told you precisely what they were doing, they wouldn't need the PSYOP division. The on-the-nose explanation for A Ghost in the Machine is that this is a recruitment video, but the video is purposefully misleading and is itself a psychological operation, which basically means a mission based on deception. If we look at some scenes in the video, we see here, "Have you ever wondered who's pulling the strings?" This question is vague enough for the viewer to project their own expectations onto the video. If you're looking at it from a recruit's point of view, "Yeah, I've wondered. This video is telling me it's the army pulling the strings, and I want to be a part of that." It gives the army an air of control over world events. The open secret of the government deceiving people through psychological operations is acknowledged in Ghost in the Machine. The army admits to it through their video shot like a movie trailer. You'll find us in the shadows at the tip of the spear. The phrase, "the tip of the spear," has a few different meanings, but in military context, it's an American idiom commonly used in military operations to mean the first soldiers to go into a war zone. In common usage, it means the first to venture into a new endeavor, a trailblazer. Warfare is evolving and all the world is a stage. "All the world's a stage" is a quote from Shakespeare's As You Like It. There are many literature references throughout this video. Here they focus on the knight chess piece. In chess, the knight moves unconventionally compared to other chess pieces. They say we come in many forms, while the voice says this force, as an integral part of combat, has taken a new form. If we combine this phrase with the previous tip of the spear reference, it appears they are trying to imply that this is a new generation of warfare, and their tactics have taken a new shape. It's different from anything we've experienced thus far in history. The video ends with the Latin words verbum vincit, which means the word will conquer. This is a play on the phrase, the pen is mightier than the sword. The video attempts to showcase the power of words over weapons to promote the Psy War division of the army. It is true that Ghost in the Machine is what they call a recruitment video. But it's also true that Ghost in the Machine has layers, and there's a lot of hidden meaning. So layer one can be summed up with no subtext. What you see is what you get. It's on the nose. It's just a cool movie trailer promoting the PSYOP division, a secretive division that would typically never draw this kind of attention to itself. Yes, makes perfect sense. Nothing to see here. No other reason the Psychological Warfare Division made this video. Unless. Every scene in this video has meaning, and when you take each piece and apply it to the whole, it tells a different story. Due to the ominous tone of the video, many assumed it was an extension of the Great Reset-style Overlord's propaganda like the World Economic Forum's Great Reset video from 2020. Or what many call the Deep State.
Unelected Deep State operatives who defy the voters to push their own secret agendas are truly a threat to democracy itself.
But the Deep State did not make a video targeting the Deep State. If we analyze the subtext of what's being conveyed at a deeper level, it appears the video is following the movie script, or what's sometimes called the plan. Layer 1 acts as a standalone video. It's separate from our world, right? We're not in the army, therefore it doesn't affect us, and it's not a commentary on our reality. But what if it is? If we look at this video as an extension of our shared reality and how it relates to everything going on, and has been slowly gaining momentum over the last handful of years, it takes on new meaning. Time to dive into layer 2, the subtext. Let's do a layer 2 scene breakdown. While layer 1 focused on visuals, layer 2 should be watched as well as heard. The lyrics tell a story all their own and mirror the scenes we're shown. Before we get any other information from this video visually, we're met with whistling. This feels both familiar and uncanny, depending on context. Here, it initially sets the tone as one of uncertainty since, well, you wouldn't feel so comfortable if you heard someone whistling when you thought you were alone. The song chosen to convey this story is The Last Goodbye by Eric Kinney, featuring Danica Dora, and it tells an entirely different story than the on-the-nose dialogue of Layer 1. The opening line of the song says, "Wolves hiding nearby." So the ominous whistle is from something sinister. The video wants you to feel surrounded with no way to escape and creates an atmosphere of danger. The PSYOP Division's job is to sometimes play the role of the wolf in sheep's clothing. To fit in, to play a role contrary to one's true character. If the on-the-nose appearance of the video is dark or of a wolf, then to hide in sheep's clothing would be to make one the light. A wolf in sheep's clothing is someone who pretends to be good or friendly but is actually trying to cause harm or take advantage of another. Symbolically, the colors black and white hold a lot of significance to various groups who pull the strings. Though they have various meanings depending on a specific group's definition, in general, black represents consciousness, while white represents the subconscious. Black represents exoteric, or on the surface, and white represents esoteric, or hidden. Black represents darkness, and white represents light. Both are forever joined on the same chessboard, though, and cannot be separated here. They work together like wolves masquerading as sheep to accomplish a shared goal. By hiding a few wolves in sheep's clothing with the sheep, they get the sheep to follow them, and the sheep end up doing what the wolves wanted all along. As we've seen, the video opens with a Sun Tzu quote from the book Art of War. If your opponent is of choleric temper, seek to irritate him. Pretend to be weak that he may grow arrogant. A choleric temper is one which is easily provoked. In Shakespeare's time, personalities were categorized according to 4 temperaments. At their best, the choleric temper is ambitious, brave, and proud, but it's also vindictive, deceitful, and violent. And without exception, they are irritable and bad-tempered. But that doesn't give us a full picture of the enemy or the hero's perspective. Other Sun Tzu quotes from The Art of War include, "Thus it is that in war, the victorious strategist only seeks battle after the victory has been won, whereas he who was destined to defeat first fights and afterwards looks for victory." In other words, the perspective is taken from the victor's point of view against the enemy because the victory has been assured before the operation began. They're the ones pulling the strings. Since its marketing style is geared towards conspiracy-minded people with its aesthetic, the video wants you to think this means who are the powers that be or who is Oz behind the curtain. This makes sense because the puppeteers tend to stay behind the curtain of the world stage, as many of the events we see around the world and throughout history are staged and choreographed by unseen puppet masters. We'll talk more about the invisible third party a little later. On this layer, the question of who is pulling the strings becomes a little more clear. So, Even though it may seem tempting to believe the question is being pointed at the dystopian overlords, the ones with their boots on the necks of the oppressed, the real answer is actually hidden in plain sight. Who is pulling the strings? Well, they tell you who. The light, or the white side of the chessboard. This is a USSR chessboard from the 1950s, and the piece highlighted as the who, pulling the strings, is the white king. What it's trying to show is that there are two opposing sides playing against each other in this movie. Chess is a long game with many moves, and sometimes, even though one side knows they've lost, they have to let the game play out. And another Sun Tzu statement sums up this point. All warfare is based on deception. This division's specialty is deception. Regardless of how you feel about the overquoted book, I want you to appreciate the power that the government places on deception to achieve their aims. Born from the ashes of a world at war, this is obviously a reference to a phoenix. But what's not as obvious is that the phoenix symbolizes immortality, resurrection, and life after death. And it is associated with the sun god. The sun god symbolizes the same light being referred to here that is a foil or a polar opposite to the dark of bringing life from death, creation from their destruction. Notice the song lyrics as we're seeing the story unfold. The lyrics talk about someone hiding in the shadows, an undefeatable force that is always waiting to say its last goodbye, as if it cannot be killed. Eric Kinney is the credited writer, producer, engineer, mixer, and arranger for The Last Goodbye. He is a professional musician who works for brands. His job is to understand how to manipulate or generate a mood. His Instagram post from 2019 shows an ad he created for AT&T. He says the client wanted the music and the baby to feel mischievous, not typical cute baby music. No xylophones. Went with low woodwinds orchestral vibe, then just needed to get the pacing and hits dialed in around the dialogue and cuts. He talks about his concept in another post from 2020 for AT&T featuring all sorts of celebrities. Most would assume the song is just played straight through in the background, but that's not the case. The song's lyrics are chopped up throughout this video. For example, we hear Danica sing the lines, "Wolves hiding nearby, whispering do or die around me."
Wolves hiding nearby, whispering do or die around me.
Then the next phrase we hear is actually the line prior to that in the original version. You say your last goodnights while I keep getting by.
You say your last goodnight.
Only without the interesting line, red moon on the rise. They removed that phrase from their video version, so it was deliberately done in a specific way. Nothing here is random. Considering Eric Kinney's Instagram posts, his job is to make sure even the music in a commercial is strategic and manipulative. Moving on. The video shows warfare has gone from horses to handheld devices. When technology is introduced to society, things change. Once you have things like mass transit, instant communication, industrialization, things just fundamentally break with the past. Human nature might not change, but the worldviews or the ways humans decide to organize their society and express their beliefs can change and alter quickly. Technology introduced a whole new battlefield for deception and warfare. Cyber warfare is called fifth generation warfare, or 5GW for short. This is not like our cell phones 5G, which is just cellular networks. 5G warfare is cyber combat. Ghosts in the machine take sides of us versus them. But who is us and who is them? The chessboard shot from earlier gives us a clue. This is a video targeting the deep state made by the light state, or side, the other end of the spectrum of control. You've heard of two wings of the same bird. The wings are represented by dark and light, so this movie's theme is dark versus light side battle. The us being referenced here is the light side, and the them is the dark side. It is the counter-narrative fighting against the conventional narrative, or the mainstream narrative. The ghosts are the light side, and the machine is the dark side. Donald Trump Jr. explains it this way.
The problem is the machine is so big. The media, big tech, the lengths that they will go to protect these traitors, in my mind, without question, right, is unfathomable. You see what they're doing to Newsmax and what they're trying to do. We're up against such a large machine. They will silence you. They will make sure that no one hears the truth. Even if the truth is discovered, it'll magically disappear into the ether, never to be heard from again.
And Anon puts it this way.
So, guys, this is what we're fighting against. And we're still fighting against this machine. The machine has not laid its arms down, has it, Sean? We're still fighting.
Every single day?
Every single day we fight. And you know how we fight them, Sean?
We mean them.
We fight them with frogs, dude. We fight them with freaking frogs.
This conclusion is helped by a character on the white side of the chessboard, General Michael Flynn, who used the Ghost logo on the binder of his new book, The Citizen's Guide to Fifth Generation Warfare, Introduction to 5GW. Fifth Generation Warfare is warfare that is conducted primarily through non-kinetic military action, such as social engineering, misinformation, cyber attacks, along with emerging technologies such as artificial intelligence. General Flynn is a retired lieutenant general in the U.S. Army, the former head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, and was the national security advisor under the Trump administration. If we categorize recent political history in terms of colors of players on the chessboard, Trump and all working with him would be playing on the white side. Barack Obama, George Bush Sr., George Bush Jr., the Clintons, they've been playing on the black side. JFK was a white king who was checkmated. The two sides appear to hold polarizing beliefs. One of power over the people, and the other of power back to the people. Or globalism, centralization, mass censorship, and the Great Reset, versus nationalism, decentralization, free-ish speech, and the Great Awakening. General Flynn and Boone Cutler wrote The Citizen's Guide to Fifth Generation Warfare that defines 5G warfare. They appeared with John Harold, aka Patel Patriot, on his media channel to explain how the internet and social media are involved in fifth generation warfare. Flynn is explaining it from the perspective of the manipulation being used against civilians by the powers that be. Let's have a look.
So, you know, what is fifth generation warfare? Fifth generation warfare is a war for your mind. I mean, at the brass tacks level, you know, it's used by state, non-state actors to really manipulate, you know, your thoughts and your attitudes and what kinds of things you might do without you knowing it. I mean, it's trying to manipulate you without you knowing it, or getting to a place where it's so you are so manipulated that when you finally realize it, it's already done. You know, it's designed to affect all your actions, who you vote for, what social clubs you join, what causes you support, you know, who your perceived enemies are. I mean, one of the things we talk about in the guide is they pit neighbor against neighbor, and your neighbor is not your enemy. Most 99% of the time, your neighbor is not your enemy. But in this type of warfare, there is a pitting of neighbor against neighbor. I mean, I see it in my own family sometimes, and in families, it's family members against family members. So the goal of fifth generation warfare, it's really pretty simple. It's to prepare. It's really the adversary's goal, I should say, is to prepare citizens for centralized control by a globalist elite government.
Ding, ding, ding. He said the secret words. Globalist elite government is the title of those playing on the black side of the board. The white side can be described as we the people. Flynn is also telling you what to be afraid of. Centralized control. That's what he wants you to believe, because you can't be saved from nothing. But remember, that's only one side of the story. The back cover of his book reiterates the idea of people rallying against the globalists by stating humanity's fight against globalism. He's identified the other, the thing to fear. He also implies he is us in the us versus them mentality. He's placing humanity as the white side of the chessboard along with himself and those following the quote plan, dark versus light. But wait a minute, this is still the government we're talking about. Let's not forget the wolf in sheep's clothing strategy. Is Flynn a wolf placed in the pen with the sheep to cause them to follow a false leader? In the clips we saw, Flynn was talking about the deep state Trump references, the black players on the world stage chessboard, using this form of manipulation on the people, right? That's true. What is also true is that this is projection. You can't have a coin with one side. The light side is just as involved with 5G warfare on civilians. And that's what I'm suggesting Ghost in the Machine is actually disclosing here. The fear of this New World Order is the boogeyman that they use to make people run to the light side, or, in an us versus them scheme, the light side portrays itself as being us, or with the people, to protect them from the dark side. But what if these pseudo-sheep don't have your good in mind?
You need to understand, you know, what a psychological operation is. You need to understand what a psychological action is. So what are the actions being taken against us? So you need to understand what that is, when it occurs, and then how do you deal with it? And you need to understand what we call in the guide, who the targeted audiences are. Maybe Boone, you can talk to target audience.
Boone Cutler then defines a target audience as anything that separates people into a group. Once the target is identified, it's manipulated to drive their behavior. Just as there is narrative and counter-narrative, it's not a war if it's one-sided. There is the deep state psyop, the Great Reset, of globalist centralized control that Flynn just highlighted, and the light side's equivalent opposite psyop called the Great Awakening and features controlled decentralization. Flynn paints the picture with a Rumble video he posted to his Telegram titled The Great Reawakening versus The Great Reset. You are either on the side of saving America or you are against us. He bifurcates the issue by only presenting these two options. It's an us versus them dynamic. But even though Flynn is warning of the powers of the globalists and trying to fire the people up to join his side, The Great Awakening, Flynn understands his target audience quite well. He's made this seem like a critical issue, a major plot point, if you will, by tweeting on February 5th, 2022, that his Citizen's Guidebook to 5GW could possibly save your life. He certainly understands the importance of cyberspace, particularly when it comes to the power of memes. Flynn is known to the Anons as the Pepe's General, and they are his digital soldiers. Memes. The movement Flynn is involved with, that is the epitome of a psychological operation, Q, actually refers to the importance of memes many times, such as drop number 2851. Memes, memes, and more memes. Why are memes so important? An Anon says, memes are powerful tools we use to widely circulate awareness by simplifying a broad message in a recognizable and digestible format. It's a tool in information warfare. Q drop number 4497 states, take a meme, leave a meme. This is how Anons pass out ammo. Memes prep, music prep, organize, unite, prepare. But first, the word meme comes from the ancient Greek mimema, meaning that which is imitated. The term was coined by Richard Dawkins in his 1976 book, The Selfish Gene. He wrote, memes propagate themselves in the meme pool by leaping from brain to brain via a process which, in the broad sense, can be called imitation. In modern terms, an internet meme is a piece of culture, typically a joke, which gains influence through online transmission, according to Patrick Davidson. Limmer Schiffman defines them as cultural information that passes along from person to person, yet gradually scales into a shared social phenomenon. Seth Godwin's 2001 book, Unleashing the Idea Virus, argued that marketers and corporations could use the power of the internet to create idea viruses that spread from person to person without any push from the creator. Information warfare is often about waging an influence campaign that can change behavior through unconventional means, such as social media. Memes play a part in a specific type of information warfare dubbed mimetic warfare. Memes have also been called leaflet propaganda of the digital age. According to this research article, no longer are planes, paper, and people trained in psychological warfare necessary to propagate leaflet propaganda. All it takes is an individual, an internet connection, and the understanding of a target audience. Once a target audience has been determined, internet meme creators with malevolent or mischievous intent utilize cognitive biases to garner further influence. This is the same strategy Flynn outlined as 5G warfare. However, as we're about to see, it wasn't the globalists, the black side of the chessboard, who are the masters at 5GW. It's actually the white side, the ones calling themselves the light. The side promoting their abilities in Ghosts in the Machine, who utilize the power of memes to attempt to shape reality. Enter Pepe the Frog. According to KnowYourMeme.com, on 4chan, the character Pepe the Frog is often considered a modern avatar of the Egyptian frog deity of chaos and primordial darkness, Kek. It embodies the time right before the dawn, making him the bringer of light. Kek is portrayed as a man with a frog head. Pepe uses ancient Egyptian meme magic to influence the world, often by fulfilling the wishes of posts that end in repeating numbers. Pairs of numbers are important to the Egyptian Ogdoad mythology, of which Kek is a part, especially number 8. And I apologize if I am butchering some of these pronunciations. TheConversation.com says this about 4chan. Pepe the Frog and Pol first collided with the outside world in June of 2015, when Trump announced his candidacy for President of the United States. Trump, with his aversion to political correctness and penchant for flair and showmanship, was Paul's immediate candidate of choice, and so Pepe the Frog was edited to wear a Make America Great Again hat and began appearing in hundreds of Trump-supporting forum posts. At that very time, an event of religious significance to poll contributors was approaching. Each post published on 4chan bears an identifying number, assigned consecutively by order of publication. Because of the huge number of posts published every day, this number is practically random. 4chan has an old tradition of users trying to have their posts obtain certain special numbers known as gets. The most precious gets are round numbers, such as 1 million, or those that repeat all their digits. By October of 2015, poll was approaching its 77,777,777th post, seen to be of particular importance because the number 7 is often associated with good luck and fortune. The post that would get that number was sure to gain legendary status within the community. As it happened, the 77,777,777th get was for the message, "Trump will win." This post got an incredible 8 sevens in the stamp, and not only that, but the user ID ends with QEK, which could be pronounced kek. During the same time, Donald Trump embraced his 4chan fans by retweeting absurd "You can't stump the Trump" videos. Politico.com states, "World War meme, how a group of anonymous keyboard commandos conquered the internet for Donald Trump." Mother Jones's publication wrote, "Memes are best known for littering social media, but some experts think they might have helped elect Donald Trump." Trump memes on 4chan started to take off, and once Q arrived in 2017, they encouraged making memes to spread on the digital battlefield, in this compilation of drops. One reason given by Q for the prolific use of memes is that the AIs can't yet read or understand them. Jack Dorsey tweeted this in 2018 about memes. "Any apps out there that allow you to take screenshots of text and then convert them to text?" He wanted to know because memes were able to circumvent his censorship algorithms. Memes are also a visual, usually humorous way of getting the point across to challenge any mainstream narrative, or a great tool to muddy the waters and create confusion with inaccurate information, depending on who is posting them. Some memes are true, most are false. Always double-check the information. Memes are certainly part of the information war, or the plan. What exactly is the plan? Well, it's something called the Great Inversion, or the changing of the world guard, quite literally, a new world order. Just not the one many have been conditioned to believe. It's a pole shift, the reversal of power from the black side of the board to the white. Back again to who is pulling the strings, from dark to light. One holistic health writer describes it as the greatest global consciousness shift the world has ever seen, what many people call the Great Awakening, in her workbook, A Few Practical Steps to Enjoy the Apocalypse. Too bad we're still stuck on the same chessboard under the invisible third party. The shift doesn't lead to freedom. Returning to the Army's video, a voice then says,
"There is another very important phase of warfare. It has as its target, not the body, but the mind of the enemy."
The voice belongs to Carl Zimmerman.
"But there is another very important phase of warfare."
It is from a TV show called The Big Picture, which was an American documentary television program that aired from 1951 to 1964. The series consisted of documentary films produced by the United States Army Signal Corps' Army Pictorial Service. This particular reference was from episode 206 called Truth is Our Defense. However, if anyone's truth differs from this light side's version of truth, they are also lacking truth. So it's another way of creating a false binary of us versus them, like Flynn has been doing. You're either on the side of the light or the dark. You're either on the side of saving America or you're against it. They don't want you to be presented with any other options, such as not playing the game. Don't get emotionally invested. You see, here's the thing. They don't care about inconsistencies. They don't care about facts. They don't even care about the truth. All they care about is power. They believe their power is what shapes reality, not facts, not truth. They're trying to put you in a false binary. It's us versus them. You're with us or against us. It's dark or light. It's truth or lies. Not so fast, pseudo-sheep. All war is based on deception. All psychological warfare is manipulation. Deception and manipulation don't get along with the truth. This is one Anon's opinion regarding the dark side, the deep state, but notice how this applies to the light side as well. I think we've hit a point where the psyops have outpaced the real news. How are we supposed to know what's real or not? That's exactly why they're doing it. They want to create dysphoria and to confuse people. So when real news hits, we'll be spinning like a top. Pretty much epitomizes the famous quote by William Casey, who was the 13th director of the CIA, "We'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false." So is truth their defense? Or is their defense the ability to construct a narrative and claim it is true? They promote the idea that they can be everywhere, anybody at any time. You never know if what you're seeing is part of a psyop or not, so you never know if something is a lie or not. That's the point. We're all experiencing this right now with how hard it has become to find good or accurate information. In my opinion, this seems to be part of the psyop, the inability to arrive at meaningful conclusions. So you just kind of give up. It's all too much. So don't give up. It's ironic that the next thing we see in the video is the Statue of Liberty, symbolizing liberty and freedom. You are not free if you're being manipulated. All psyops, by their definition, are deception. You are being deceived by both sides. Just because the outcome of the deception seems favorable to you, that does not mean the people deceiving you are good. Let's take a drastic example. Tavistockian brainwashing works only if the brainwashers can create a controlled environment, in which the victim sees only the alternatives presented by the tormentors. You can read more about brainwashing experiments in my evidence-based Substack article, The Origins and Legacy of MKUltra, linked below. This is why control of the narratives, both mainstream and alternative, is so important to the overall success of a psychological operation. The news and social media can create a type of controlled environment. By putting people into false binaries of black and white thinking, other alternatives are not entertained. If we take the same mentality the government used to control individuals in Tavistock units and apply it to the tactic of wolves hiding nearby, masquerading as the sheep they wish to control, you probably have started to feel a bit surrounded by manipulation, not sure who to trust or what to believe. And sadly, that's the point. Now let's really start digging in. Send in the clowns! This is an animation from 1933 called Betty Boop Snow White. The evil queen is hunting down Snow White, and this character, Coco the Clown, sings a song called St. James Infirmary by Cab Calloway, and the animation goes along with the song in the original video. When the queen then uses the magic mirror to turn him into a spirit, the lyrics to Cab's songs are "When I Die." So, obviously Ghosts in the Machine is not intending its original meaning, and instead using this very specific animation to convey a new message. The magic mirror is a fictional object that tells the truth. So in the context of Ghosts in the Machine, it's supposed to reveal the truth. Danica sings, "As I wait to say my last goodbye." This time, we're shown the Statue of Liberty, which acts as the subject of the song in this frame. My last, so the statues, America's. And as we hit goodbye, the magic mirror reveals the truth. Coco, who represents the Army PSYOP division here, is revealed as the ghost in the machine. Once this fact is known, the television burns down. So, they're the ones burning it down. This symbolizes a reference to a popular phrase, "The revolution will not be televised," which comes from a poem by Gil Scott Heron, who states, "When the revolution comes, one will not be able to plug in their television to watch passively from the comfort of their home." He argues that change can only come with active participation. For Anons, that active participation can be summed up with a prominent cue phrase, "You are the news now." For example, drop number 3616 says, "The Great Awakening, you are the news now. Handle with care." In a speech from 2018, Trump described the reason the light side chose the internet as the battlefield for this information war. He said,
"Because we really have to bypass the media because it's so one-sided and unfair in order to get straight to the American people. That's what we're doing."
Q reiterated the same statement right after the speech. We have to bypass the media in order to get straight to the people. We've gone around them like no one in history has gone around them. Then Q adds, "Think MSM attacks regarding Q, in parentheses, we, the people." Yes, so Q is the operation that bypassed the mainstream media and got straight to the civilians. But notice the parentheses here, we the people, or the Constitution, so Americans. This post is insinuating that if they're attacking Q, they're attacking you. By going straight to the people, they disguised themselves like we the people. The plan, is playing out by utilizing civilians as pawns. The civilians just want what's best for their country and their families. These are good people caught in a bad situation. It's why I'm trying to show you these two sides, not just one, so you can make a more informed decision. Q also posted, "You are watching a movie." Number 1450 states, "Everything shown has meaning. You are watching a scripted movie." And number 461, "What makes a movie good? Great actors?" The military uses the same methods taught in every film school. Everything that is on screen is there because the director intended it to be. We can all see that the Army's Ghost in the Machine recruitment video is done like a Hollywood production and has broken the fourth wall. As this comment on the Army's video demonstrates, someone asks, "What movie is this from?" To which someone else replies, "The movie is real life." Part of a PSYOP's success is engagement. By Q's purposefully cryptic messages, disrupting the machine from the inside out, using social media as their battlefield, Q got the civilians, or Anons, involved to become more ghosts in the machine. Q encouraged people to decode, or bake, the crumbs Q dropped about the deep state. Free publicity.
"Remember, kids, only members of any secret circle can decode any secret message. Remember, Annie is depending on you. Here is the message. 12:11.
Be sure to drink your Ovaltine. Ovaltine? A crummy commercial?"
But like the message from A Christmas Story, in the end, it's still propaganda. Drop number 4511 says, "A military-civilian alliance has never been attempted," which entails the use of the general public to counter the narrative, or propaganda push, by controlled media. So, while they're pointing out the MSM propaganda, they're trying to get you to buy into their brand of propaganda, the same way the Ghosts in the Machine recruitment video is trying to do. A reminder, the Q movement is a PSYOP by definition. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines a PSYOP or psychological operation as military operations usually aimed at influencing the enemy state of mind through non-combative means. In other words, this movement isn't we the people, it's we through the people, to paraphrase Manly P. Hall's definition of a Hegelian dialectic of using the people to further occulted agendas. Political reforms are not accomplished by the people, but through the people. Behind all collective progress stands the enlightened individual's leadership. This layer of the iceberg analysis explores the fact that the Q PSYOP is a never-before-attempted military-civilian alliance targeting the deep state. But, with what we've just looked at, having the people being used as some of these non-combative means, and Q recruiting more civilians to join the meme war, is it really only the enemy they're aiming to influence? And why are they trying so hard to rope people into their chess game through means of, well, deception, persuasion, change, influence? You get the picture. Welcome to Layer 3, where you are the target. There is an invisible third party at play here. What is an invisible third party? It's an entity that controls both sides in order to accomplish a goal. For two controlled sides to be at odds, there must be a third side instigating the issues. The same way a triangle has two sides emanating from the same point, these two different sides are controlled by the same third party, manipulating either side to achieve the shared desired goal. Much like the Freemasonic double-headed eagle, when two sides are formed in opposition to each other, it's the center or the invisible third party that grows more powerful by controlling those two sides. Here's one example. Politicians are the sides of the chessboard. The financial backers are the invisible third party. Who owns the politicians, big corporations, the pharmaceutical industry, food distributors, railroads and shipping lines, even farmland? Invisible third parties, such as asset management groups like Vanguard, JP Morgan, BlackRock, State Street, and others. If they're all working together to accomplish a goal, they're not really enemies, they're actors. A better question is, whose strings are they pulling? Who are they looking to deceive, persuade, change, influence, or inspire? It's right in front of you. The enemy is you.
I'm in danger!
The first layer is that this is a recruitment video. The second layer is that it's a psychological operation disguised as a recruitment video. The third layer is that it's a threat disguised as a psychological operation disguised as a recruitment video. What sounds like protection on layer one sounds a whole lot more like a threat when viewed from layer three. It has a double meaning. Like everything the powers that be do, their chessboard, their double-headed eagles, they operate via mirrored messages of dualism. Dark and light, black and white, exoteric and esoteric, context and subtext, conscious and subconscious. Anything we touch is a weapon. We are everywhere. As if to say, you can't escape. You are steeped in our world. Good luck figuring out up from down, truth from lies, and by the time you realize it, you're so roped into the psyop, it's nearly impossible to escape. Where would you escape to? We've given you the only options, so you're either with us or against us. We can either save your life or... The implication is that if you're not on their side, you're on your own. One of the non-combative means they're utilizing is the purposeful erosion of trust via the dissemination or externalization of information. The Twitter files is one tiny example. This erosion, or destruction, of common knowledge is one of the most powerful weapons the PSYOP has been wielding. People are questioning things they've never questioned before, and trying to unravel decades of conditioning and propaganda in a very, very short span of time. The invisible third party is using this chaos to their advantage. If they're household names, chances are, they're not invisible. If the Army PSYOP Division is saying we are a world at war in any capacity, that allows for much more sinister aspects of psychological warfare. Government programming advances were typically justified under the guise of being at war, after all. According to Dr. J.G. Estabrook's book, Hypnotism, the hand of the military must not be tied by any silly prejudices in the minds of the general public. War is the end of all law. In the last analysis, any device is justifiable which enables us to protect ourselves from defeat. Ourselves. The invisible third party will protect themselves, not you. This is an information war, not one of physical combat. Remember, targeting the mind, not the body. There is one controversial tool the government seems to be using to accomplish just that. Memes, in the form of magic. Before General Flynn wrote his Citizen's Guide to 5G Warfare, Daniel Abbott wrote the Handbook of 5GW, A Generation of War. The description is interesting. It says, the successful application of the fifth generation of warfare, 5GW, is indistinguishable from magic. And the fifth generation warrior hides in the shadows, or in the static. Ghosts in the machine, right? Well, Anons have adopted the ghost logo proudly with their merch. Anon Army, we are everywhere. The Army's words, taken by Anons. The military-civilian alliance is complete. On 8kun, this wizard Pepe tells us meme magic is real. Memes are counter-narrative mind viruses. Internet memes are probably most comparable to viruses. They are dependent on living hosts, have the capacity to infect anything and everything, the ability to evolve, to grow, and most importantly, to spread. Then, it lists for us the necessary components of a meme. 1. Brevity, brevity, brevity. Brevity is the soul of wit. A meme must impact the viewer within seconds, with minimal cognitive processing. It should reflect the soul of truth, which never requires mental gymnastics. The parables in the Bible are a great example of this. Great memes convey volumes of understanding, not words, through intrinsic truths in concert with universally accessible images. What? Okay. Brevity is the precise or exact usage of words. They convey understanding. Well, what does that mean? It's a truth told through intuition. You just get it, without many words or words at all, and it typically conveys a complex thought through humor, with universally accessible images, so relatable things to everyone like Kermit or Pikachu, or on a macro scale, something called archetypes, which we'll get into in a moment. So, meme magic is an art, not a science, that is taken both way too seriously and not seriously at all. If 5G warfare is cyber, does all of this still sound cyber? How are mind viruses strictly cyber? Recall what René Descartes' original commentary on mind-body dualism entailed before we got the term ghost in the machine. The mind exists outside the body, and is influenced by external forces. Mind and body dualism represents the metaphysical stance that mind and body are two distinct substances, each with a different essential nature.
There is another very important phase of warfare. It has as its target not the body, but the mind of the enemy.
Another way of looking at memes is that they fall into the category of magical sigils. Chaos magic emphasizes the power of thoughts, ideas, and beliefs to influence the mind. Belief is the tool that empowers the magic, and sigils refer to a symbolic representation of the practitioner's desired outcome. Triangle Mag wrote an article on the surprising power of the Pepe memes regarding the 2016 presidential election, as well as the power of memes. This way, sigils are believed to allow one's project to enter the realm of reality. But, as years passed, a question appeared. What about memes? As collective entities, created by the will of thousands around a single thought, repeated and refined, it was the utmost sigil. And hypersigil, some said. Well, the cult of Keck is exactly that. A hypersigil created by 4chan, using several tenets of chaos magic, such as the creation of a tulpa, a magic monster created by one's mind to exist in our dimension. As the memetic warfare went on, all the rage and hopes of the Trump army created those powerful tools of collective will, making them circulate on the web, gathering attention and the wrath of millions. And clearly, it worked. I would venture to say that all of this that was happening on 4chan was the beginnings of the Q PSYOP. Q came along in late 2017 and bridged the gap from 4chan to the rest of the internet. The Q posts are just one small branch of this entire operation that allegedly uses the power of the mind to achieve their goals. Memetic magic may actually fall into the very controversial category of 6G warfare. The difference between 5th-dimensional cyber warfare and 6th-dimensional memetic warfare is that the internet lives in the internet, and memes live in the mind. The mind is the ultimate war zone for 6G warfare. Now, please remember, I'm just presenting the information in order to explain the concepts. Some may think what we're talking about is silly, but the invisible third party believes in this stuff to their core, and they practice philosophies like hermetics, like a religion. For example, the first hermetic or universal law, as they call it, is the law of mentalism, which states, the all is mind, the universe is mental. This essentially means that everything seen and experienced has its origins at the depths of the invisible or mental realm. In other words, beliefs, to an extent, shape reality. Understand why things like the Akasha and the power to manipulate it would be of interest to them? For example, our old pal Descartes was into this stuff too. He was a member of the Fratres de la Rosicroix, or the Rosicrucians, an ancient mystic fraternal order considered one of the oldest fraternities in the world, and traces its origins to the ancient Atlanteans, who allegedly passed on their knowledge to the Egyptians by tradition, and occasionally by writings. Its purpose? To promote esoteric thought and promulgate Eastern mystery science and philosophy. Why does it matter? Rosicrucianism and hermetics go hand in hand. Anyway, as the government continued their psychic warfare plans, they studied individuals with heightened psychic, astral projection, mystic abilities, particularly in regards to what is referred to as the Akashic Records. The Akashic Records are a permanent record of all thoughts, feelings, and actions stored in a kind of cosmic memory bank outside of space and time, they say. The military has actively participated in studying occult practices. This is done under the parapsychology term. Some possible military applications include things like body control and healing, which entails, quote, the ability to resist normally intolerable conditions, such as torture or brainwashing. A paper written by Jeff Levin of Baylor University called Hacking the Akashic Records, the Next Domain of Military Intelligence Operations, states, not so long ago, cyber or information was introduced as a new paradigm for a military accustomed to a four-dimension land-sea-air-space doctrine. Accordingly, cyber would seem to be the ultimate domain of warfare operations. After transitioning from the physical planet, land and sea, to the atmosphere, air, and beyond, space, the virtual information domain, or cyber, must presumably be the final frontier. The five-dimension doctrine has been operational for a quarter of a century, and is a cutting edge of the U.S. military's strategic plans moving forward. But, according to the publication cited above, perhaps it is time to consider a sixth domain of operations. The paper goes on to explore the possibility of a post-cyber domain for intelligence operations, founded on the esoteric concept of the Akashic Records, a repository of information and sensory or thought impressions located in the non-physical realms. This concept originates in the Sanskrit word akasa, or the ether, and has been described as a field accessible psychically and via spiritual practice. First introduced to the West by 19th century theosophists, the concept of an Akashic record has become part of the lingua franca of contemporary New Age spirituality. According to contemporary descriptions, akasa has non-local characteristics in the sense of Dossi's description of non-local consciousness. The secret doctrine states that it pervades all things, crediting Helena Blavatsky. I want to jump in and add a connection here. In 1888, The Secret Doctrine was written by Helena Blavatsky, the woman credited with starting the Theosophical Society. Another prominent theosophist, Elizabeth Clare Prophet, also believed in a coming New Age, a consciousness shift, or a Great Awakening. On September 17th of 2021, General Flynn spoke at the Opening the Heavens Conference in Omaha, Nebraska. The theme of the conference was, "It's time to get ready for the revolution of light." Here is the message he had to convey.
We are your instrument of those sevenfold rays and all your archangels, all of them.
And I am the instrument of those sevenfold rays and archangels, and I will not retreat. I will take my stand.
We will not retreat. We will stand our ground.
I will not fear to speak.
We will not fear to speak.
And I will be the instrument of God's will, whatever it is.
We will be the instrument of your will, whatever it is.
In the name of Archangel Michael and his legions, I am freeborn, and I shall remain freeborn.
In your name, and the name of your legions, we are freeborn, and we shall remain freeborn.
And I shall not be enslaved by any foe within or without.
And we shall not be enslaved by any foe, within or without. So help me God. God bless you. God bless America. Thank you very much.
General Flynn recited Theosophist Elizabeth Clare Prophet's channeled message from 1984 nearly verbatim. Elizabeth's full speech can be found linked below. Back to 6G warfare. The article concludes by saying, it was once easy to dismiss such claims as science fiction, but their official acknowledgement confirms that there is precedent for federal authorities to run operations targeting the mind, the cognition, affect, personality, behavior, and even consciousness of both enemy combatants and U.S. citizens, military and civilian. Akashic hacking suggests something even more intrusive, like having a camera and microphone that can peer into a target's soul, not just his or her mind, including at any time in the past or future. As an article on psychotronic weapons in a publication of the U.S. Army War College reminds us, the mind has no firewall. So it may not be that big of a stretch to suggest that things like meme magic is a tool in the psychological warfare artillery. We've learned that words and ideas are the ammunition used by Psywar. We have gone from physical combat to mental warfare. The battlefield has changed. Social media has blurred the lines between reality and the immersion in propaganda. TikTok trends are also, by definition, memes. Treat everything we see and hear in the mainstream media and social media as nothing more than staged, a movie. Take on the role of observer, not participant. This is not a war for the truth. It's a war for what you believe to be the truth. Their words have shaped most people's reality. They've tried to turn the objective truth into something that is subjective. The plan. The Great Awakening, or the Great Inversion, has also been called the New Age by theosophists like Alice Bailey, one of the first to use that term. In her book, The Externalization of the Hierarchy, she gives insight to the invisible third party and the plan. Quote, "The three main channels through which the preparation for the New Age is going on might be regarded as the church, the Masonic fraternity, and the educational field. Here we have a divide-to-conquer mentality. By using the educational or academic channels, she states it will, quote, reach those of the intelligent public who cannot be reached by means of ceremonial and symbolism, as in Masonry, or by religious means and ritual, as in the church. It touches the masses and those in whom the intelligence aspect predominates to the lessening of the other two aspects. And the Masonic movement holds in its symbolism the ritual of deity, and the way of salvation is pictorially preserved in its work. The methods of deity are demonstrated in its temples, and under the all-seeing eye, the work can go forward. It is a far more occult organization than can be realized, and is intended to be the training school for the coming advanced occultists. In its ceremonials lies hid the wielding of the forces connected with the growth and life of the kingdoms of nature and the unfoldment of the divine aspects in man. In the comprehension of its symbols will come the power to cooperate with the divine plan. This is an important fact to truly grasp. The most occulted aspect of Masonry, of esotericism, is that of the light side. The darkness, the black side of the chessboard, is played up, encouraged, and focused on, while the white is ignored, purposefully, and has grown incredibly powerful through slow, silent infiltration as a result. It's the monster nobody knows to fear. It's the wolf hiding nearby. This information lays out the reality that at the end of the day, there are no sides. There are monopolies. Each move has been accounted for by the invisible third party, who execute their plans through their monopolies on both black and white sides of the board. Of course things happen, there are mistakes, but they just recalculate and move on. You could think of it this way. If an actor can't perform his role, what happens? You call in the understudy, or their understudy, and so on. So what then is the ultimate goal that they have in mind? Bailey outlines the plan of love and light as twofold. One, may Christ return to earth. But then she states Christ has never left the earth because what she is referring to is Christ consciousness, a state of consciousness called enlightenment. Christ consciousness is allegedly man's divinity returning to the human race. In other words, knowledge and works can save the world. Recall the earlier quote about Masonry's esoteric symbolism. The way of salvation is pictorially preserved in its work. And number two, may it seal the door where evil dwells. The evil referred to has nothing to do with the evil inclinations, the selfish instincts, and the separativeness found in the hearts and minds of human beings. These they must overcome and eliminate for themselves. But the reduction to impotency of the loosed forces of evil which took advantage of the world situation, which obsessed the German people and directed the Japanese people, and which worked through barbarity, murder, sadism, lying propaganda, and which prostituted science to achieve their ends, requires the imposition of a power beyond the human. In other words, step one, awareness, step two, inversion, which are the main ingredients of the Great Inversion. The people are made aware of the problem, they are poked and prodded until they get the desired reaction, then the solution is introduced. In this dialectic, the problem is the evils outlined in part two. The reaction is the cry for justice and people feeling personally involved in achieving that justice. The solution is to restore order and implement new systems of world governance that would not be widely accepted without the destruction of the old ways. One Anon states it this way. The Great Awakening has two parts. Part one, the public is made aware of the realities of institutional corruption. After a critical mass of the population has been awakened to the problem of corruption, they'll demand justice. In part two, those who commit crimes will be prosecuted. If you're only interested in seeing criminals brought to justice, you'll hate the first three quarters of the movie, where crimes are exposed, but no one is held accountable. But you'll love the ending, where perpetrators are finally brought to justice. In other words, problem, reaction, solution. He doesn't know it, but he's just given us an example of mental transmutation. Awareness followed by inversion. You can't have a new age without doing away with the old. So, what are some steps to achieve that? Symbolism. There has been a lot of controlled disclosure lately, but if we apply retroactive attribution to the disclosure we've already been through, the movie actually starts to piece itself together. The evildoers identified themselves when they began to externalize themselves by injecting their symbolism into the collective consciousness at a previously unseen rate. You all probably remember when symbolism became mainstream and was played up at every turn. There were many reasons for these things, but essentially that time, like the last decade, built the framework for the public to identify who the enemy was. The players on the black side of the chessboard, the ones supposedly pulling the strings. Exposition is the beginning of a story where the characters and conflict are introduced and the setting. People spent that time learning things like the bloodlines, the origins of banks, false flags, government corruption, and much more. It was a time of the erosion of trust in institutions, traditions, and previously unquestioned structures and worldviews. Recall what we just read from Bailey. In the comprehension of its symbols will come the power to cooperate with the divine plan. While she means the rich esoteric symbolism taught by mystic traditions, the fact some of the symbology has bled into the exoteric world is proof of this externalization plan. After all, symbolism is just pictures. When WikiLeaks and then Q came on the scene, many people did not need to go and learn the facts of who, what, where again, like who is John D. Rockefeller or Edward Bernays, what are the Freemasons or Rosicrucians, for example. They were able to go into the how and why. Why was the Federal Reserve set up? How do Hegelian dialectics play out in real time? Here's a sample of the many times Q posted symbolism will be their downfall. Now comes the complication, or the conflict, the part of the story where the main character is taking some action to resolve the conflict, and it's unsuccessful. This causes more problems and complications, thus making the story more interesting. I hear ya, why'd you have to go and make things so complicated? Yeah. Well, if we're watching a movie, the great inversion can also be called the climax. Or the point of highest emotion, a turning point, the point at which the outcome of the conflict can be predicted. No human knows exactly how this will all play out, but that's not to say give up. It's to say start by staying calm. Step one is to stay calm. Step two is to realize you're going to have to stay calm for a while, as this is a long process. The inversion isn't a single event, it's just a lot of steps that add up. Like a movie. But we're not watching Toy Story. It's like Lawrence of Arabia. Just don't get 24-hour amnesia, as I call it, okay? Where you go to bed, and when you wake up, you forget about what happened yesterday, and the day before that, and the day before that. No, everything we've been through adds up. That's why things are the way they are now. So try to keep the big picture. It's all connected. What is up with all of the clowns? The army's not calling themselves clowns in the machine, so why the clown symbolism? Well, let's return to what we did at the top of the video and define some terms. What is a clown? No, I'm kidding. But how is the clown term understood in this context? It usually is used in reference to someone who is a puppet for the deep state. Clowns are sent in to distract from bigger issues, they say. Anons use the clown emoji to denote this. For example, clown world is a term used to describe the current state of society where everything is upside down. Hilariously, this too originated from a meme of Pepe the Frog called Peppo Clown. But again, the deep state did not make a video about the deep state. That's pretty on the nose, huh? The clowns are the fool? But that's not really how it's used in the army's video. So what else could it be? I couldn't find an analysis on the army's video that took Coco the Clown seriously. Here's one example of an explanation of this scene. An old-timey cartoon shows a bumbling clown being revealed as a ghost, or a spook, an undercover agent or spy. The message of this highly symbolic image, your ridiculous entertainers are actually agents of propaganda. Sure, that's true, generally speaking, if you're using on-the-nose dialogue with no subtext on the surface layer. But that's not what this scene is portraying in the video as a whole. Movies have characters, and those characters are typically stereotypes, or a mix of other underlying universal tropes. In the same way mimetic magic spreads universally recognizable concepts from person to person, the idea of archetypes is being utilized by Ghost in the Machine. Archetypes are considered to be recurring patterns, plot structures, symbols, character types like king, mother, and themes like the battle between good and evil, that occur in stories across cultures and time periods. They embody universal meanings and basic human experiences, and can evoke unconscious responses in a reader. We know mimetic magic utilizes this concept on occasion. If you were the powers that be, that would be a powerful tool you'd use to steer the minds of people based on subconscious biases. Ghost in the Machine utilizes the archetype of the jester to represent the light side. Here, we see an actor putting on clown makeup. A jester, a fool, or trickster is one that tricks others to get them to do what they want. Symbolically, jesters are often represented by red and fire, as well as lightning. Jesters typically had access to truths that the common folk did not. Their message is not delivered as an angry speech or an attack, but as a subtle allegory and funny story. You've probably heard the phrase, truth in comedy.
Okay, so the movie goes like this. The biggest drug cartels in the world get together and buy up all the media and all the politicians and force all the people in the world to stay locked in their homes, and people can only come out if they take the cartel's drugs and keep taking them over and over. I threw the script away. I mean, who is going to believe that crazy idea, being forced to do drugs?
They joke, but they destroy. You laugh as your belief system crumbles around you. The jester's motto is, "You only live once. YOLO!" A phrase that skyrocketed into the collective conscious in 2012. The jester is often seen in stories alongside the king or the ruler. In these stories, the jester's job is to deflate the ego of the ruler, and to say, in jest, what needs to be said, but no one is willing to say aloud. A jester was a person who had achieved high levels of enlightenment, and whose destiny was as a destroyer. They might be regarded by those they challenge, and by those who cling to the old ideas to be bad, but new things cannot be introduced unless old things disappear. Jesters function as both a mirror and a teacher, using extreme behavior to mirror others, thereby forcing them to examine their own doubts, fears, hatreds, and weaknesses. This ties us back to the Sun Tzu quote that opens this whole production of irritating your opponent by pretending to be weak, a fool. With this in mind, let's look at the next scene again of Coco the Clown. If we take the Sun Tzu quote and apply it to the situation, playing the fool is the role the light side, especially Trump, took on to endlessly irritate their opponent, which allowed them to grow arrogant while the light side gained strength. In this context, Coco acts as a stand-in for the light side. Psychological manipulation as a means of warfare has taken a new form.
Has now taken on new form.
Is the next time we see Coco, after being told, "We are everywhere." With the lyrics singing, "As I wait to say my last goodbye." The Statue of Liberty is the last thing we see before Coco is transformed by the magic mirror into a ghost. And the television being set on fire. From jester to destroyer. This entire idea of the archetype of the jester bringing destruction can be seen in Joker. The same film Ghost in the Machine tries to remind you of. From this point on, the composition is meant to create an extreme sense of dread and uneasiness. The beats of the song produce a quickened heart rate, and there's a sense of impending doom. A feeling in the dark, a message in the stars, ghosts in the machine. What are we? That comma changes the phrase from the question, "What are we?" to "What are we?" As in, are we all these things we just listed? Like ghosts in the machine? It's easy to tell the false light from authentic light. The false light points back to the self, to material works, to empty promises. Anything that keeps you distracted or focused on this world and its troubles is false light. The Apostle John wrote, "Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" And in John 12:46, we see Jesus say, "I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." So the false light spoken of in the mystery teachings and that we've outlined here today is actually just another part of the darkness. It's darkness masquerading as light, a wolf in sheep's clothing, a ghost in the machine. In conclusion, deception won't lead to the truth. I feel like John chapter 1 verses 6 through 8 sums this up well. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, John, but came to bear witness about the light, Jesus. I want you to think about that, people calling themselves light, instead of pointing you to Jesus alone. I discuss why God is not part of the dark to light axis in my video, An Inconvenient Reality, if you want to know more. At the end of the day, at the end of it all, the powers that be will become the powers that were. Their best-laid plans are meaningless in God's eyes. This world isn't our promised Neverland. But those projecting a false future of liberty and justice for all, without bearing witness to the only light of the world, to Jesus, and instead let the people project what they believe the light is onto their vague words, as we've seen people like General Flynn, remember the Army's video. Remember all that they do is to make things sound good, to look good, to distract you, to get you involved, to recruit you. They might be trying to deceive, persuade, change, influence, or inspire you. Recognize that and say, you're manipulating me, aren't you? To which they would respond, what? Are we? Thank you for watching this video. If you'd like more content like this, please consider becoming a paid subscriber on my Substack. For just $5 a month, you can support me and my research and help me to get this information out. Thank you again for watching and for everyone who has made this possible by continuing to support me. Bye-bye.